This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
Well, now, well, once again, allow us to express our greetings and our gratitude to each of you, and to remind you that there continues to exist that opportunity for you to be involved in that silent communication or that telepathic interaction and that exchange of information with other entities that would be with us on this afternoon, or indeed that portion that you refer to as your higher self, or that spark of consciousness that you are. And once again, as well, that choice to be involved in that interaction is yours absolutely, and you will find that it's quite easy for you to alter your consciousness and to enter into that meditative state should you choose to do so. Now, this reality, this illusionary, although significant reality that you exist in, is your creation. And you as entities in and as energy exist throughout the entire universe of your creation. It's an illusionary reality. And it exists because you believe it exists. And it becomes very difficult to grasp that concept that you exist throughout the entire universe, in each and every cell of the entire universe, each and every atom of the entire universe. But what perhaps is more comprehensible is that the spark of consciousness that you are, your consciousness, if you will, exists within each and every cell of your physical being. Your consciousness is not just something that exists in what you believe to be your mental capacity, or in your brain, or in that part of your nervous system that seems to control the rest of your physical being, but rather your consciousness exists within each and every cell of your entire physical being. If you wish to see examples of that type of consciousness existing within the cells of your physical being, you have but to study what you refer to as your transplant of organs from one individual to another, and to recognize that various character traits from the donor of one particular organ is also transferred to the recipient of that organ. But your scientists have yet to discover is that when it is the donation of an organ from a living and surviving entity to another recipient of that organ, the transfer of the characteristics of the donor are much stronger than the transference of characteristics when the donor is someone who is deceased, who has, for lack of better terminology, died and left this so-called incarnational period. The irony of it is that although in your so-called awakened consciousness state, you believe that that entity has somehow left your so-called existence in your awakened consciousness state. And yet, once again, certain characteristics of that individual are experienced in the recipient of the organ that was donated from the deceased to the living. You don't die. You simply alter your consciousness. And although you are in an altered state of consciousness, the only separation is what you believe in your awakened consciousness state. In altered states of consciousness, you continue to interact with other entities that are in different incarnational periods, and for lack of a better terminology, because of your belief in time and space, are indeed in what you refer to as an in-between incarnational state, or someone who has died, if you wish, and has not been reincarnated. That's an illusionary existence. Time and space are illusions. They don't really exist. And so you have this individual who you believe has died or passed over, if you wish, who is in this in-between state of consciousness, and yet you interact on a regular basis in various levels of your consciousness with all of those entities. And so it should come as no surprise that indeed the consciousness that exists within an organ that is transferred to another contains within it elements of the individual from whom that particular organ was obtained, in terms of characteristic traits, in terms of consciousness, existing within the very cells and the very atoms of that particular organ that was utilized in the transfer. Again, should your scientists choose to conduct such a study, they would find that if the individual who donates the organ is an individual who continues to exist within this incarnational period, that the transference of traits is much stronger. It becomes even more interesting should they discover and should they decide to conduct such a study, they would find not only do the traits of that individual become much stronger when the individual continues to survive, but when that individual, for whatever reason, changes some of their particular characteristics, that transference, although it might seem almost impossible, occurs between the organ that was donated and the individual who is the donor. And so the recipient begins to experience alterations in their character that correspond with the changes in the character of the individual who is existing within the same incarnational period and who was the donor. Very interesting concept. But it serves for the fact of your belief systems. It serves to validate that your consciousness exists within each and every cell of your entire physical being. Now, because your consciousness does not just exist within your so-called mental capacity or your nervous system that seemingly controls all of the functions within your physical being, it's important to understand that the consciousness that is in each of those individual cells is influenced by your thought process, by your choices and decisions, and particularly as you enter into this new age and new energy, by your conscious creation process. When you experience in your awakened consciousness that what you might refer to as negative feelings or emotions, that are based upon some type of experience that you have participated in your day-to-day activities, it's important to understand, first of all, that that experience was as a result of your choices. It is a result of your belief systems. And so the emotions and the feelings that you experience as a result of that interaction are also your choice. You can have, for example, four or five individuals involved in the same creation process, in the same interaction. And each of those individuals can experience different feelings and emotions based upon their choices, based upon their decisions, based upon their belief systems, based upon their attitudes. Same experience, different feelings and emotions. And so the emotion of one can be an emotion of joy, for example. Feeling very joyful, feeling very excited and very intertwined and desiring to experience that particular interaction. Every cell in that individual's entire being experiences the joy. Every cell, the consciousness exists within each and every cell of your entire physical being. And so you have the same interaction, you have the same activity that you have co-created with the other entities that are involved. One of the other entities looks upon that as a less than desirable experience. And they, through their choices and decisions, through their belief systems, through their thoughts and feelings, look upon that as being a negative experience, less than desirable, less than joyful, in fact, the opposite of being joyful, very depressing. Every cell within their physical being experiences the same emotions and feelings. This is important to understand that when you're involved in an activity, first of all, you are a co-creator. And secondly, the thoughts and feelings that you choose to put into place as to whether you have that be a desirable or a less than desirable interaction, or as a result of beliefs and attitudes that you hold. And they can influence, not only can, but do influence, whether or not your entire physical being reacts as that as being a negative interaction or a positive interaction. If it's a positive interaction, and each of you can look into your so-called past and you can attest to certain activities that you're involved in. If it's a positive interaction, if it's a joyful experience, because you choose to look upon it as such, because you choose to have the thoughts and feelings associated with that experience as being positive, then the physical being experiences a sense of well-being. The entire physical being, each and every cell, rejoices and experiences that sense of joy and of well-being and of the desire to perpetuate the experience. Other individuals involved in the same interaction, and it's important to understand that we're not talking about two different types of scenarios, but rather the choices and decisions, the thoughts and feelings that one applies to certain interactions that affect the emotions that one experiences. Whether it's good or bad is based upon your thoughts and feelings, based upon your choices and decisions, your beliefs and attitudes, based upon what it is that you expect to experience from that interaction. And so the same interaction, and one experiences what you refer to as negative emotions. Each and every cell in your entire being experiences the negative emotion. Each and every cell in your entire being experiences what you refer to as a less than desirable experience as a result of your choices and decisions, as a result of what it is that you choose to have as thoughts and feelings surrounding that particular interaction. And as a result of those choices and feelings and those decisions, the spot of consciousness that you are validates the reality. And if you choose to believe that it's a less than desirable reality, then the spot of consciousness that you are validates that reality, and the so-called negative reaction that you experience throughout each and every cell of your entire being is enhanced. Conversely, when you experience a joyful reaction and emotion because of your thoughts and feelings and because of the choices and decisions, because of your attitudes surrounding that particular activity, the spark of consciousness that you are validates what it is that you believe, and you experience joy. And so when you're involved in interactions, and again we hesitate to give you any type of direction because it's your choice, it's your reality. We're not suggesting that one is better than the other, absolutely not. All the realities you create are created once again from a position of absolute and unconditional love. To suggest that your reality is less desirable than someone else's is an awake human consciousness concept. Does not exist at the level from which you create your reality. And so we're not suggesting that one way is right or one way is wrong. We're not suggesting that one way is superior or the other inferior. Absolutely not. However, if you wish to experience what you refer to in your awakened consciousness state as the joyful, positive type of experiences and the joyful, positive type of emotions and feelings, then pay attention to the attitude. Pay attention to what it is that you deem as being important or not important. Because the importance that you put upon a certain activity indeed influences the choice and decisions, influences the thoughts and feelings, influences the attitudes and beliefs, and influences the ultimate experience of whether it's what you refer to in your awakened consciousness state as a positive or negative. And if you wish to be on the positive side, then understand what it is that you consider to be important in terms of what you look upon as a choice and decision, and saying, I don't want to be involved in that. I don't think that that's a very good interaction. versus looking at a particular interaction and saying, well, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to enjoy this regardless. It's not important enough for me to make the choices and decisions that are going to influence my thoughts and feelings, that are going to influence my attitudes, so that I experience a negative reaction and therefore a less than desirable reaction that affects each and every cell of your entire physical being. We've suggested many times to understand what a belief is, pay attention to the spontaneous attitudes, because that's what affects many times whether you look upon a certain interaction as being positive or negative, as being desirable or less than desirable, and whether you look upon it as being a joyful or a not so joyful interaction. And the emotions, once again, that you experience are emotions that are not only just felt in your so-called nervous system or in your mental capacity, but in each and every cell of your entire being. And when you don't feel that joyful experience, when you feel less than desirable experiences, it's very difficult for you to accomplish that which you desire as being a desirable interaction in other levels of your creation process. We've often suggested that when you consume particular elements in order to sustain your existence in your awakened consciousness state, which is a human consciousness belief system you require and which you hold as being necessary to continue to exist in this vibrational level, in this particular incarnational period, that the elements that you consume have an effect upon your physical being, and that effect is influenced not by the elements that you consume so much as your beliefs in what it is that you consume. Your belief is far more important than what it is that you're consuming to continue your existence. If you believe that it's harmful for you, then you better not consume it. However, if you don't hold the belief, if you hold the belief that it is going to assist you in your existence and in your well-being, then that belief indeed is reflected in the reality that you experience. But if you hold within your consciousness the feelings of negativity, if you hold within your consciousness the feelings of anger towards yourself or towards others, if you hold within your consciousness, which exists within each and every cell of your entire physical being, including the cells that are responsible for the distribution of the necessary elements for you to continue your existence, if you hold within your consciousness that feeling of being upset or distraught, it will affect the elements that you consume. Even if in your so-called awakened consciousness state you believe that it is an element that can assist you. And so how you feel is experienced in each and every cell of your entire being. And as a result of how you feel, it reflects upon the experience that you create, including the elements that you consume to sustain your physical existence within this vibrational level. And so when you experience the positive attitudes, when you experience the joy, then the elements that you consume take on a much more positive ability to assist you in sustaining a what you refer to as healthful existence within this incarnational period. When you can see the elements and they become part of your physical being, they take on the consciousness that you are. The irony of it is, in a concept that we understand is much more difficult for you to grasp, consciousness exists within the elements before you consume them. Some of your seemingly more very difficult wording, very difficult to give you any type of a vocabulary explanation, but some of your more, what you might refer to as primitive societies actually understand and grasp that concept to a degree which is, again for lack of a better terminology, superior to some of the concepts that are held in your seemingly more advanced societies, and some entities in these seemingly less sophisticated societies actually understand that the feeling that they have towards the elements that they consume indeed have an effect on how the element is distributed throughout their physical being. Your consciousness exists within each and every cell of the entire universe. If you have a negative emotions and feelings, those negative emotions and feelings are transferred, if you wish, to the elements that you consume. And we use that terminology because it's easy for you to grasp that concept. The truth of the matter is that it already exists within those elements that you consume, because you exist within each and every atom of the entire universe. And again, it's important to understand that it's not right or wrong. It's important to understand that the spot of consciousness that you are creates that reality from a position of absolute unconditional love, and does not judge whether it's right or wrong, does not judge whether you should have what you in your awakened consciousness staff would refer to as being a positive or a negative attitude. The spot of consciousness that you are does not hold that judgment. It's unconditional love. Unconditional means no conditions. It gives to you that which you desire based upon the choices and decisions, based upon the thoughts and feelings, based upon what you term as being important. And once again, as you enter into this new age and new energy, what you believe is important, what you choose, what you hold in your consciousness as a choice or a decision, as a thought or a feeling, influences the reality that you experience in a manner that has been more difficult to accomplish in your so-called past. So if you wish to experience more positive realities, what you in your awakened consciousness that consider to be more positive realities, pay attention to that which you would term as being important. Pay attention as to whether or not it brings joy or negative feelings. And if it brings negative feelings and that's not what you wish to desire to experience in your awakened consciousness state, then ask yourself, why do you put the importance upon it? Why would you call that something that's worthy of experiencing the negative type of feelings or emotions that once again are experienced throughout your entire physical being? It's not just in your mental capacity. That once again, the influence of the elements that you consume in order to sustain your physical being. And ultimately, influence whether or not you exist in what you refer to as being a healthful or an unhealthful type of situation. Is it important? We're not suggesting indeed that you look at every element and say, well, I'm not going to be upset over this, and I'm not ever going to be upset over that. Absolutely not. You and in your societal system have rules and regulations. You put in place the contracts that allow you to function so that you have limitations. You ought to have limitations as to what you can and cannot do. And in order to have these societies that function so that each knows what their boundaries and their limitations are, you put in place the contracts, and some things are acceptable and some things are not. What we're suggesting is that you determine whether or not what you have is success, acceptable or unacceptable, are limitations that are necessary if they're causing you to experience what you in your awakened consciousness state would refer to as negative emotions and feelings that are as a result of your choice and decision, as a result of what it is that you desire. Your reality is a reflection of the beliefs you hold. You create your reality, you are all that is, and you cannot fail to come to that understanding. All the rest is up for grabs. All the rest is illusionary, and whether or not it's important or unimportant is your choice, your decision. Some of them are the societal belief systems, and you work within that particular element of belief systems and rules and regulations. But many of the ones that cause individuals the so-called negative responses are individual choices and decisions. If they're important to you, fine and dandy. Understand the consequences of the negative choices and decisions and the negative emotions. And understand as well that it's not right or wrong. Understand that the spark of consciousness that you are gives it to you without judging whether it's right or wrong, but does so from a position of absolute unconditional love. Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
If I may, how would you define intuition as opposed to a belief system? I know some of the obvious differences, but how would you describe intuition or reality, or is it just another belief that people have? They have to believe in intuition for it to work.
The reality that you experience is only limited from your understanding because you choose to put in place the limitations. You choose to put in place what we refer to as that electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand not only who and what you truly are, but of the methods that you utilize to create the reality that you experience. But somewhere within your consciousness, there is the absolute understanding of who and what you are. There is the absolute understanding of the creation process. And intuitively, those suggestions of what it is that you're experiencing are available to entities on a continual basis. To develop one's intuition, one has but to believe that the answers are available. They are there for each of you. Not only are they there, they're constantly being bombarded, but you choose to limit your capacity to understand. You limit your capacity to tap into, if you wish, those intuitive suggestions. We've suggested many times, there's one enters into the meditative state And one becomes involved in what we refer to as that communication with that spark of consciousness that you are. Many times when you return to your conscious state, you don't bring back the actual memory of what that interaction was that you can retain and make sense of in your so-called awakened consciousness state. But many times, as a result of that interaction, as a result of setting aside that so-called ego and to make that attempt to communicate, to interact with that spark of consciousness that you are, you, as a result, experience intuitive suggestions in your day-to-day activities and in your creation process. It becomes the matter of one developing, if you wish, your intuitiveness, your ability to understand what it is that you're experiencing, that you're sensing, if you wish, within your consciousness. Each of you has that capacity for intuitiveness. Each of you not only has the capacity, but indeed utilize it to some extent, some more than others, but all to some extent. The reality is simply a validation of your belief system. And when you are experiencing a reality, many times one looks at it and says, I think I've been here before. It's not that you've necessarily been there before, because time and space are illusionary, but rather it's that you are intuitively recognizing that it's a validation of an experience that you agreed to participate in. And many times that intuitive suggestion is actually available and there before you actually experience in your so-called awake consciousness state and in your perception of time and space the actual event. Each of you has that capacity, not only has but utilizes it. For some it's pushed aside, for others they dwell upon it to try to strengthen it. Whatever your choice is, whatever it is that you wish to do is entirely within your belief system and what it is that you desire. But it's there and available to each of you. Intuitively, the suggestions are there. You also, each of you, has the capacity to be involved in the mental transmission and interaction with each other without the utilization of your so-called vocabulary. You do it on a regular basis. You call it intuitive. You call someone has this ability to tap into another's thoughts and feelings. You all have that ability. It's constantly there. It's just that some don't develop the capacity to recognize what is their thought process or what's the thought process that they're being bombarded with by those that surround them, and to tap into various particular thought processes. It's all there. It's all available to each of you. You choose at some level of your consciousness, in your awakened consciousness state, to block it out. In your altered states of consciousness, where you interact with others on what you refer to as a telepathic state or a telepathic level, there is no utilization of a vocabulary. It's a transference of emotions and feelings. It's a transference of thoughts. It's not necessarily a transference of a vocabulary. And when you intuitively receive that message, it's that one utilizes the ability to transfer it from an emotion or a feeling, from a thought, into a vocabulary so that you can express it. It's not only is it available to each of you do it on a regular basis, and many refuse to recognize it. Some go to great lengths to develop it. The ability is there for each of you. It's not something that's a gift as much as it is a belief system that one holds. the reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold, without exception. Without exception. It seems so simple when you break it down. You create your reality. You are the God you search for, and you cannot fail to come to that understanding. It's really that simple. All the rest is an illusion. All the rest is a validation of beliefs that you choose to hold. When we interact with our friend Allah, there's not a transference of some type of vocabulary. It's a transference of thoughts and feelings. It's a transference of emotions that are then altered and expressed through this rather limited use of the vocabulary. That's why we continually suggest if you go within thought, you get a much clearer, a much greater and better understanding of that which you desire to know, without this limitation of the vocabulary. It's a sense of emotions and feelings. It's an experience. And as a result of it being an experience of emotions and feelings, it begins to defy explanation. And so it is when you get an intuitive suggestion. It's an emotion, it's a feeling, it's a thought. It's not necessarily some type of a spoken word where someone is telling you certain things, but rather it's a sense, it's an emotion, it's a feeling. Many times it's almost like you can hear something that's about to occur. When you develop the ability, one of the elements that becomes very easy for each of you to experience is the intuitive thought or emotion that you're about to receive some type of a communication with another entity, whether it be through the use of your many electronic elements like your telephones, for example, or your other methods and instruments that you use for communication. To get the sense that that communication is about to occur is not difficult for you to develop that ability, that intuitive ability. When you begin to develop that intuitive ability, then you begin to realize that it's much easier for you to indeed interact with others on a telepathic level. And not only then will you develop the capacity to understand and to intuitively have the perception that this telephone is about to ring and you are about to have a conversation, but indeed to intuitively, through the feeling and emotion, not necessarily through some type of a spoken word, but through a feeling and an emotion and a sense of what it is that that entity who is attempting to contact you is about to express through this use of a vocabulary, what the interaction will be, what's about to be said, what the communication, or at least what the content and the subject of the communication will entail. Each of you can develop that ability. It's not difficult at all. You have but to believe. What do you believe? Pay attention. Pay attention to the seemingly random thoughts and feelings that come into your so-called consciousness. And then pay attention as to whether it's your imagination or whether it is some type of intuitive suggestion for the interaction that you have at some level agreed to participate in. When you begin to grasp the concept that each and every action that you're involved in, this entire universe is your creation and you're involved in that creation, then this ability to develop one's intuition begins to become much more feasible. And when you begin to believe it, the reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold. It's really that simple. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Well now, whether it has indeed once again been a very enjoyable interaction, and we would like to express our gratitude for you once again allowing us this opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. And we would again remind you that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level, and should you choose to interact with us, you have but to express the intent that we would welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. And until the next time that we are offered the opportunity, we will bid each of you farewell with love and with peace.